This is Rob Long with Martini Shot for The Ankler. If you have friends who have kids, and if those kids are involved in any kind of group activity, you eventually have to buy something. Teams, Cub Scout troops, drama clubs, whatever, they all ultimately have to raise money. So at some point, a wide-eyed Moppet will appear in your office or at your door with a half-memorized pitch and a complicated book of receipts to manage. I have bought magazines and Christmas wreaths and pallets of cookies, cheerfully, I must say. Though at one point my young nephew expressed frustration with my standard posture in these sales events, which is to adopt the attitude of a very cautious customer, demanding to know what exactly I am getting. How many issues of this magazine? How many berries per wreath? What is in those cookies? Vanilla? Or imitation vanilla flavoring, until he finally blurted out, "Will you just buy it? Dad says you have to buy it." So I know all about sales pitches, both on the receiving end and the delivering end. Every job deep down, after all, is a sales job, and I've done my share of sitting in network television offices with a half-folded sheet of paper in front of me. For some reason, I always fold it half lengthwise, I don't know why, with a list of key points I want to make as I pitch the series. The process is always the same. I tell a little story, a personal one, or something that connects me to the show I'm about to pitch, and then I tell a little bit about the world, the show, that I give a brief version of the pilot story, so that all of the characters can be introduced organically, and it's a pretty successful system. I mean, not so successful that I no longer have to do it, of course, but my track record's pretty good. And inevitably, whomever it is I'm pitching to will adopt that same attitude of a very cautious customer and demand to know exactly what it is they're getting. How many characters? Are they friends or family? Where does it all take place? One set or multiple sets? Is it multi-camera or single or hybrid or something else? And unfortunately, I just can't blurt out, "Well, you just buy it. My agent says you have to buy it," because that'd be unprofessional, although I have been tempted. The point is, none of us in this business, and probably every other business too, should be embarrassed to be in sales. We're all making the rounds in our own way, with our own little case of samples and products to demonstrate. The great thing about the entertainment industry, well, one of the great things, it's a fantastic industry in almost every way, is at some point, no matter who you are or how much power you have right now, eventually you're going to have to sit in someone else's office, probably someone you despise, and pitch. This is true for every studio head, every network topper. You get fired, you get a production deal, you end up in somebody's office trying to sell some business. I mean, I know a guy who's been back and forth on that seesaw so many times, he once started pitching a movie to a guy who would come into his office to pitch a movie. I guess he was temporarily confused. I mean, they were both sitting on a sofa in an office, both holding square bottles of Fiji water like little plastic teddy bears. I can understand that. But the key to pitching, and pitching well, isn't really about the substance of the project you're selling. Pitches are won or lost based on the first 5 or 10 minutes of awkward, meandering, fake jokey conversation, which I have called the chit-chat. You walk into someone's office and you're there to sell, but the entertainment industry is run sort of like the late Chinese imperial courts, all misdirection and elliptical phrasing. You never just barge in and say, "Hey, have I got a show for you?" Because that reminds everyone that this is basically a sales business, and that image doesn't quite match the leather sofa and Fiji water surroundings. It insults everyone, you, because it turns you into one of those guys you see, you know, at the doctor's office with the wheelie cases and the big pharma swag, and it insults them because it reminds them that eventually, you know, in an all flesh is grass sort of way and not too much time, they will be on the other side of that pitch. So, I mean, that's what happens in this business. Eventually, we all end up switching sides. So the thing to do is to smother up all of that anxiety and rage and desperation, to cover up the Amex bill, car lease, jumbo mortgage, subwoofer pounding in your head, and just dive into the friendly, soothing chit-chat. We're just two pals gabbing away on the sofa. I just dropped in to say, "Hey, no agenda. Thought I'd stick my head in the door, be a neighbor, no biggie." Now, chit-chat only sounds casual. "Hey, how you doing? Weird traffic patterns, huh? Now, did you guys know each other in college?" Or sometimes it's just random fangless gossip. Fangless because you never really know who is friends with whom in this business. Something like, "Tom? Oh, yeah, he's working on a show in the UK for the BBC. Yeah, cool, cool. He's doing really well. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. The studio security. I like Sweet Green." "Uh-huh, uh-huh, right, right. Oh, I'm totally obsessed with The Crown. Can't believe it. too much on Netflix, no idea what's on, right, yeah. Yeah, too funny. Okay. And then the awkward pause. And then the pitch for which the table has been properly set. This is not a sales call. This is a social call. I am not pitching. We are chatting about real estate and private school, silent auctions, and Harry and Meghan. I am not about to pitch, essentially, blended family or workplace or something meets Fleabag. It's just that at some point, after the awkward pause has become unbearable, I will lean forward and start to pitch. So my advice to those of you going out on pitches, and that's ultimately all of you, is to spend a little time in the parking lot or in the little ante office thinking about your chit-chat, because it has to last at least 5 minutes to be effective. It can't be, hey, that traffic, and then suddenly, what if the girl you have a crush on turns out to be your new stepsister? That's the arena we're playing with here. I made the mistake once of arriving to a meeting with no chit-chat at all. So we just sat there, glumly, for a few moments until the guy I was pitching to finally kicked it off himself with a, have you guys noticed all these spiders around? These really big spiders? And we ended up talking about spiders for almost 20 minutes, at which point everyone was just too creeped out to want to listen to an idea about an idealistic couple who open a coffee shop. So take it from me. Brush up on your chit-chat. It matters to a successful pitch. Now, I'm pretty sure I've already told the story of the writing team I know and what happened at what turned out to be one of their final pitches together. One of them had turned to the other mid-pitch and said, essentially, don't pitch it like that. And they had argued in front of the network executives about the point of view of the show. And then later, in the parking lot, they went at it with shouts and eventually fists. Well, you know, not fists exactly. They're writers, so it was really more of a slappy kind of fight with a lot of shirt grabbing and pointless pushing. But by Hollywood writer standards, it was a fight. And then afterwards, sweating and panting and streaked with spittle and snot and probably tears too, I don't know, they each got into their respective hybrid vehicles and glided away soundlessly. But what I didn't tell you was what happened next. Okay, well, first, I'm lying about the electric cars. I just said that because it seemed impotent and ineffectual, like the slappy fight and the bad pitch and the sudden realization that these guys had in the room pitching to the network that nothing was going well. Not the pitch, not the career, not the partnership, nothing. But after a few days of festering and fermentation, they did get together to discuss the events. That's how they put it, by the way, the events, which somehow made the whole thing seem solemn and dignified, less like what it was, which was two guys yanking on each other's hair in the parking lot of a low-rated network. And this is sort of how I come into the story, because their summit meeting to discuss the events took place at Intelligentsia Coffee, a place I occasionally go to. And there they were, in a corner. They had worked it out, apparently. Apologies had been made, and statements had been stated, and there was a lot of, all I'm saying, and can I please finish? But the upshot was, they were going to keep working together. They were ready to go out and pitch again. So I got my coffee, I waved at them, I stopped by their little area to say hello, and typically for me, I did not pick up on the awkward vibe at all, and when one of them tonelessly and without enthusiasm asked if I wanted to sit down, I said, hey, sure, and I sat there, and I ate my lemon cake, and I asked them with my mouth full what they were up to. And they told me what they had been pitching. They didn't mention the events. Those I got a little later through the grapevine. But they told me about their show idea, which was a blended family comedy but sharper, and that the hook of the show is that the family is athletic or something, and they settle their differences out by the garage at the basketball hoop. You know, one of them suddenly said, that's how we should pitch the show. We should just scotch tape the pitch to a basketball, and instead of going into the office and sitting down and doing that stupid chit-chat and going through all the humiliation of pitching and selling, we just bounce the ball into the room, the other one chimed in excitedly, with the pitch attached, because that's the heart of the show, right? Now, they both seemed so excited by this idea, bouncing the ball, turning around, heading out, but I just sort of sat there and wrapped up my lemon cake wax paper and shuffled off. And later I did hear that they, in fact, pitched the show exactly that way. And it went about as well as you'd expect. The ball bounced awkwardly, knocked over some stuff, including a Fiji water on the executive's desk, the baffled executive trying to mop it up and also trying to remove the pitch from the basketball, but ripping the pitch by mistake. So, you know, obviously no sale, but no fight in the parking lot either, I guess. So that's something. It's been a while since I've seen those guys. Part of me is tempted to ask around. Part of me prefers to think that they're still fighting in parking lots and making up over coffee and devising new and more irritating ways to pitch their shows, because that is actually the kind of business I want to work in, the kind of business that still has room for slappy fights and basketball pitches. But we don't work in that business anymore. We work in a business where pitches always come with visual aids like PowerPoint decks and casting ideas and news clippings to show what's really happening out there, whatever it is, where you're supposed to talk about anything but scary spiders. And I'm not sure, when you look at the state of the entertainment business, that it's an improvement. I'll even go out on this limb. I'll bet the show with the basketball from the emotionally unstable writers would have been more successful than any of those other more professional, more buttoned up, more PowerPointed pitches the network bought that year. But of course, we'll never know. And that's it for this week. Next week, we're nice, and it pays off. For The Ankler, this is Rob Long with Martini Shot.